Ryan Burrow, WGN Radio News, also reports for ABC and has been following nationally the Jussie Smollett case, which when you walked into our studio here on the 18th floor of 303 East Wacker, downtown Chicago, we can virtually see where this incident evidently took place. It's just around behind the Sheridan, over behind NBC. It's off. Was it off of Illinois? Was that the side street? Or was
the subway restaurant. Okay, so first we learned that he went to go get some smokes at Walgreens, which closes at midnight. We went and verified that. And if this all went down at 2 in the morning, that makes sense. We went there, realized they're not open, can't get cigarettes. I'm going to go over to Subway and get food because he had just flown in and apparently had no food in his apartment. Went and got the food, apparently a tuna sandwich and a salad. Started walking back, and that's when he was yelled at. And these people who yelled at him identified him as being from Empire. He said he initially didn't react because they basically said Empire. And he's like, I don't respond to Empire. Then they came through with the racial and homophobic slurs, came up, punched him. Now, he says in the Good Morning America interview that he punched this person back. And they started to scuffle. There was an icy area, and it sounds like it was in the stairwell. That's kind of like right. No one can see where I'm pointing, yeah. But it's just so darn close. I mean, it's hard to describe when you can't actually point it, but show it to people. But it's right over there. And he said the whole incident itself probably took about 30 seconds. He said it felt like minutes, and then it was over. They just ran away.
They put a rope around his neck, and they also poured some liquid on him, maybe bleach.
And he says he didn't know that rope had been around his neck until well after they were gone.
Now, earlier reporting from the Tribune, Sun-Times, and others said that he left the rope on his neck or shoulders so as to demonstrate to the police what had happened to him.
It's a possibility. I mean, that's the one thing, right? Why would you still have the rope around your neck if the police are called maybe as long as an hour after this incident happened?
But the police did confirm that there was a rope.
They did, yes.
Okay, so is anybody denying or even questioning that he was mugged or assaulted in some way?
No. You know, at this point, we're just going off of what police say. There are blogs everywhere. I mean, the police are still investigating this as being potentially criminal activity, some kind of assault. That being said, when they're putting this out, they continue to say alleged assault. So, they're trying to get to the heart of it because as you and I can see, I mean, there are cameras loaded up all up and down there, and yet there's nothing showing this. Now, does he have to prove that it happened? I mean... Just because there's no camera footage doesn't mean it didn't happen. No, absolutely not. But a lot of people are finding it very hard to believe that two guys were hanging out on the street waiting for him in 2 degree below zero temperatures for this situation to play itself out.
At 2 in the morning when he had just got into town.
Yeah.
So how fortuitous for them, unless they had at some great length been charting his progress, and that seems to be dubious.
Identified him as being from Empire, knew who he was. Obviously we mentioned about the cold weather, had these things on them, the rope, the chemicals on them at the same time. So, I don't know.
I think also curious about this case is the fact that he didn't turn his phone or phone records over to the police right away. The Mincing Rascals, that podcast we record here at WGN Radio with some folks from the Tribune and some of us here at WGN Radio, kicked this around today. And there were two different arguments about how he handled his phone. That's your phones, that's your contact, that's your photographs. It's more than just a phone or even a piece of evidence for the police. It's you.
That's what.
And when
that's,
you give the phone to the cops...
That's what he said to ABC. He said, look, I've got my phone numbers. He said, I've got my partner's phone numbers. I've got pictures in there. I've got accounts that they just wanted me to hand over my phone for 3 to 4 hours to some CPD tech. And I have no idea what now happens with that information. He's like, there had already been misinformation at that point, and I don't want more of that information getting put out there. I have a feeling, too, that a lot of athletes, a lot of celebrities, you know, they talked about how police were told to turn their cameras off, which you have every right to do when you're being interviewed, even in his own apartment. And I have a feeling a lot of high-profile people are told that by their attorneys. Look, if anything ever happens, if you're ever in a situation, tell them to turn it off so this thing doesn't pop up on TMZ someday, you know, so maybe that is not unique that he told them to do that.
I guess what I don't like about this conversation from my perspective is it sounds like I'm questioning the victim here.
That's what makes this whole story seem so, you know, why is it that we
but the
don't seem to be making...
Well, because the victim's story is so bizarre.
Yeah.
And it's plausible, but barely so. So, of course, I think we should start with the guy was mugged, and what the motive was or what exactly happened, we don't know. We're trying to get to the bottom of
it. Nothing was stolen either. Keep that in mind. Had a cell phone, wallet, everything like that.
Well, which maybe would make it consistent with a hate crime. They weren't out for his money. They were out to punish him because he's an outspoken LGBTQ activist. He's gay. He's black. Maybe it was a hate crime based on those things.
And he has come out very strongly, and he admitted in the GMA interview, I have come out very, very strongly against President Trump in this administration. He also denied that these attackers were wearing MAGA hats. He said that that wasn't the case.
Okay, and wait, stop. Were they or were they not wearing MAGA hats?
He said they were not. He said they shouted MAGA country, but they were not wearing MAGA hats. And the other thing he's trying to defuse, too, is this internet rumor that it was a date gone wrong, that it was some kind of Grindr meetup or something like that. He said, I went to Subway to get a sandwich and a salad. He said, I'm not trying to meet people at 2 a.m.
A lot of the show is shot, most of the show is shot here in Chicago, so it makes sense that he's taken a flight, he got here late, he's going to shoot the next day, and now it's midnight, 2 a.m, he's looking for something to eat, he goes to the Walgreens, there's nothing there, he's over at the Subway, so the whereabouts makes sense. And then he reaches his manager on the phone, and you think, okay, what's he doing talking to his manager on the phone at 2 a.m, but his manager's in Australia, so it's daylight there, so it's logical that he could be talking to that man, even though it's in the middle of the night, and that he would have overheard it. So now the phone records of the two of them are maybe instructive, maybe not. I don't even know, unless they were recording the assault, and they weren't. They were having a phone conversation, right? So there's no recording of the assault, right?
No, but that being said, his phone was still on, and he said even after this scuffle happened, he picked up his phone and realized his manager was still on the line.
Fair enough, yeah. But I mean, okay.
But not recorded, yeah.
So I guess the only thing then that the police getting the phone would demonstrate was, is it true that he was on the phone with his manager? Okay, that doesn't, to me, offer much help to understanding what happened on the street in Chicago, except, you know, maybe is he telling the truth or not about that other point? James, you wanted to say what? You're on WGN Radio. Hi, you're on the air, James.
Hey, hey, John. I'll try to be brief. I've been with AT&T since 95, and I remember even 15 years ago, I used to get paper, you know, statements, my bill and all that, and it had a record of all the calls I made and received.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when they went to paperless, a lot of companies did that about, 10 years ago, I did that. So now I can go online, see my bill, and then see all the calls I made, you know, by choice if I choose to do that. You know, because sometimes you make a phone call and, you know, you want to look, oh, I forgot the number and all that. Anyway, the point I'm making is I just don't understand why this is such a big deal, because the police, I'm sure they can, and you might want to get a police officer on, can easily go to AT&T or T-Mobile or whatever the company was and find out the record of calls. In fact, one last thing, and I'll let you go. I remember, and I'm not comparing apples and oranges, I remember old Columbo episodes from the 70s and 80s when you didn't have cell phones, but you still had landline. The police always can check the landline whether a call was placed. I don't know why this is such a big deal.
Well, the reason it's a big deal is he is the victim in this case. And so to get those records, you'd have to go through the process of getting a subpoena through a judge. You have to have, you know, I mean, what is it that they're trying to find out? Are they trying to determine that he's lying about this? Are they trying to determine that it happened? I mean, at this point, they are still conducting this as though he is the victim, not necessarily, you know,
Right, so naturally he would have to cooperate with that. They can't just go get his records.
Exactly. So they have asked him voluntarily, will you give us this information? And at first he said no. And then he said, yes, here you go. But when they got that information earlier this week, they said it was heavily redacted and didn't include things that happened around
that
incident.
But to our caller's point, I think James is onto something here. A record of those phone calls exists.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it does.
And if he doesn't want to volunteer, but somebody had to know, they could find out.
You got to go to a judge, and they got to go through that process.
James, thanks for the phone call.
So TMZ is reporting this afternoon that the two people seen on the surveillance picture are in custody, or I should say are being questioned by police. TMZ is reporting that one of those is an actor who apparently also works on Empire. If I could just read it for you. Jesse Smollett is being questioned by Chicago Police Department, and officers are also talking to another man, an actor who has also appeared on Empire. Sources connected to the case tell us the actor was picked up by Chicago PD right after he flew into O'Hare Airport on Wednesday night. We're told Jesse was brought in Thursday morning for additional questioning. Another man who was with the actor at O'Hare was also taken in for questioning. Those two individuals are being questioned as the persons of interest. So according to TMZ, we know a little bit more about these two. Police identified them by tracking rideshare and taxi records and things like that on the night of the incident.
Really? So we're saying that the two people on that video were both actors on the show?
One of them was an actor on
one
the show.
One of them was.
Right.
And flew in about the same time that Jesse did.
No. He flew in last night. So
you mean you're speaking in the present, Steve? Last night?
Yeah, remember that that's the way I'm reading it, John. They brought in these two people of interest that about that this morning.
I got it, okay.
So Wednesday night, he would have been the two of them would have been picked up at O'Hare right after they landed.
But that one of these individuals, who may also be an actor on the show, was in town the night that Jesse was in town.
Well, according
evidently.
To the, evidently, yeah. Now, and he's being described as an actor who has appeared on the show.
Well, I wonder if that's news to Jesse. Did he know that the people that mugged him, one of them was one of his fellow actors?
According to what he said on GMA, the only person he saw had a mask on. And he said, you know, it was 2 degrees below zero outside. And a lot of people, you know, I mean, it's winter, so it wasn't anything completely suspicious.
Do you know the race of the person who we're talking about, Steve? Did they indicate if that is a black person or white person?
I do not know.
Or whatever? The plot thickens. Ryan Burrow, you hear him regularly here on WGN Radio with our news. Also reports for ABC nationally. He is covering for the network and for us the Jesse Smollett story. And Steve Bertrand just reminded us that TMZ is now reporting that one of those two men in that video is, in fact, an actor on the show. If those are either witnesses or the guys who mugged Jesse Smollett, then one of those people, the witness or the attacker, is, in fact, one of his fellow actors on the show. Your texts are pouring in, and you're not having any of this. I would say 95% of the texts that are coming in are saying this just doesn't smell right. Tom wanted to say something. You're on WGN. Tom, you're on the air. Hi.
Good afternoon. It really concerns me that Mr. Smollett is allowed to set the narrative here, and I understand the Hollywood love affair with an actor and all of that. Access Hollywood this morning with GMA. It's just, at some point, I hope the city puts all its ducks in a row, has a proper press conference, and presents, you know, what they know, and put this thing to bed. Because this young man, whatever happened to him, you know, he got punched, he had a couple of puffy eyes, he had to shoot the next morning, he had to come up with an excuse. He couldn't go to his producers and say, whatever happened to me. He had to come up with a story. There are more cameras at the intersection of Water and New Street, which your reporter just mentioned, than there are in Television City in Hollywood. There are hotels, loading docks, and none of this showed up on camera?
All right, Tom, I got your point. Let's let Ryan respond to that.
I walked it, yeah. I mean, there are a ton of them. That being said, I mean, the Good Morning America, they want to get his side of the story. I mean, all we've got right now is police reports and speculation and supporters, but this is the first time he's been on tape and said, this is what happened. And, you know, if he's not telling the truth, then everyone's going to point to that and said, you told us this. And
none of us were there. He's the victim. And I think the challenge for all of us is not to judge it. It's to stay neutral right now. And I understand, Tom. It's getting harder all the time. Thank you for the call. Ryan, thanks for your reporting.
Thank you.